Morning. Hello, welcome. It's good to be here with you all. I might just pray and then we'll do that thing that we do. Father, I just thank you that you are here with us. I just thank you that you are moving through us. You are moving in us. Just thank you for just the beauty of this season. Just thank you for the unique things that you've been doing in us in this season of transition. The things that you've been doing in us that you couldn't do in any other season. Just thank you that you are good and you are faithful. We just thank you for the way that you are drawing us together. We just ask that you would minister to us as I speak and that you would just be with me and help me to speak your heart this morning. Amen. Hey, welcome. It is good to be here with you all. I'm really excited to get to share this morning and just to be family with you all this morning. So we have a five-year vision that we are on year three of. Correct? Year three, yeah. And that is up the back. You can see that. To be a family of wholehearted people becoming unmistakably like Jesus, going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day wherever we are. Why don't we read that together? I realize this is going to result in everyone needing to turn around, but let's do that. Let's read this together because this is what we are doing together. To be a family of wholehearted people becoming unmistakably like Jesus, going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day, wherever we are. That's a fun invitation for us. So that's our vision statement at the moment. And we also have a mission, which is transforming life through Jesus. So transforming life through Jesus, that's the thing that we're always doing. This vision statement, this is the current expression of this. This is how we are doing the work of transforming life through Jesus in this season. So we've been talking about this vision statement, we've been breaking it up each term and focusing on a different part. And this term, we focus on to be a family of wholehearted people. So that's what we're exploring this term. Zach kicked us off last week beautifully, talking around the theme of family and where we see that in Scripture. And this year, as I was praying into this term where we're focusing on being a family of wholehearted people, I asked the Lord what he was leading us into, what was the invitation? And I felt like he was saying that for this year, the focus of this term is deeply connecting with each other and deeply connecting with him. So we've called that deepening as family, because we're deepening as family together and we're deepening as family under a good father, deepening as family with him. And the word family can have a lot of baggage, a lot of different meanings to different people. The word family, like family can be the source of the greatest joy for some people. And family can be the source of deepest hurt, deepest pain for some people. For some, it's both at the same time. For some people, family is a place of life and freedom. And for others, family is a place of death and control. We are talking about family as in the church family. But as we talk around what does a godly church family look like, it is quite possible that stuff, if you have pain around your own experience of biological family, it is quite possible that that stuff might come up, that the Lord might give you an invitation to some healing in an area around that. And we just want to acknowledge that and also say we would love to pray for you if that stuff is coming up at some point during this. Because we believe that God's intention for family is that it is a place of life and freedom, not a place of death and control. So I'm going to continue kind of introducing where we're heading for this term. I'm going to set up some of the verses we're going to be exploring at and set up the theme. We're going to get to hear from Catherine next week, which is exciting. She is one of my favorite speakers. Definitely the most beautiful speaker I've ever seen. So that's exciting. And then another beautiful speaker, we're going to get to hear from Zach the week after. He's a beautiful man. So, yeah, and we're going to get to hear from many other beautiful and wonderful speakers throughout this term. So I'm really excited about where we're heading, and I'm wanting to set us up as we go on this journey together. I'm wanting to kind of talk about what does it look like to deepen as family? Like, why does it matter? What is the cost? Like, because we want to acknowledge, like, this thing's going to be hard. Doing deep family is hard. And then sort of a step towards that. What does it look like to do this? Like, what do we need to do to be doing this? So that's where I'm headed. But I want to start with a question for you guys. We love doing discussion as a church. I say we. Some of you probably don't love it. But we love doing discussion as a church. And the reason why we do this, the reason why we make this a really regular part of how we do sermons is because it helps us learn. It's like an adult education thing is like having these conversations together actually helps us learn. But also because we believe that you're valuable. We believe that your voice matters. And we want you to have an opportunity to speak together, to share together and share what you feel like your wisdom and what you feel like the Lord is saying. So we do this really regularly because we think it's important. So you do not need to be part of this right now. If you feel nervous or anxious about being in a discussion, please just reflect on the question by yourself. But otherwise, I'd love for you to jump into a group of 3 to 4 or however the numbers work out around you. And let's just make sure that everyone is that wants to be in a group is in a group. But here's the question. What does a deeply connected church family look like? What do you think that looks like? All right, so I'll give you guys a few minutes. Get your attention back in this direction. Time pending, you might get one more opportunity to discuss things together towards the end. But just quickly, does anyone want to just shout out something that was discussed in their group? Maybe just in a word or a couple words if possible. They care for each other. Beautiful. Yeah. Intentional, yep, yep. Freedom, yep, love that. Safety, yes, so important. Belonging, yes, yep. Beautiful thoughts. So thinking about this invitation to a deeply connected church, there's a few places in Scripture that come up for me. And we are going to be more fully exploring some of these verses as we go on. But I'm just going to share a couple of them with you. So Ephesians 2:19-22. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We're carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. We're members of God's family, and together we are the dwelling place. Yeah, it's beautiful. One of the other bits, passages that occur to me, and we're going to be spending a bit of time, which we've done in a previous year as well, but we're going to spend a bit of time in John, where Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, because he says a lot of things to his disciples about how to be deeply connected. And so the context of the passage I'm about to share, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. He's washed the disciples' feet, and then Judas has just left to go and betray Jesus. And just after Judas has left, this is what Jesus says to his disciples. In John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then Jesus then reiterates this not long after, still in the upper room, still in the same teaching. He says to his disciples, and this is John 15, 12 to 13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." That invitation to love as Jesus has loved, that is a big invitation. That is a big call, because Jesus goes on to lay down his life. And that's the invitation. I had this encounter where I saw this vision. It was a few years back, but it really marked me, and it really marked sort of why I live. I had this encounter where I saw this woman, and I knew in the encounter, because Jesus was talking to me about it, I knew that this woman was the bride. It was the church. It represented the bride of Christ, the church. And this was the bride of Australia that I was seeing in this encounter. And as I looked at this woman, sorry, this bit will get a little bit heavy, but as I looked at this woman, I could tell that she was battered and bruised and injured. I could tell that she'd been hurt. I could tell that her clothes were ripped and torn. And as I looked at this woman and I spoke to Jesus, I got a sense of what she was feeling. And a lot of what she was feeling was self-loathing. A lot of what she was feeling was not love towards herself. And as I talked to Jesus, I knew that a lot of the injuries to her, most of them were done by herself. Some had been done by external forces, but a lot of the hurt had been by herself. And it broke my heart looking at the bride of Christ and seeing her like this. And Jesus said to me, he said, "My bride doesn't know how to love herself." He said, "My bride needs people who are willing to show her how to love herself." Because this is the invitation for us to love ourselves, to love the bride. Because as we love one another, as Christ has loved, we are loving the bride. As we love one another, we are loving the bride. And as we hurt each other, we're hurting the bride. Jesus goes on, still in this upper room teaching. He goes on to pray for his disciples, and then he prays for us. And I think that if Jesus is praying something for us, we should probably give it a fair bit of weight, because this reveals what Jesus's heart is for us. And also what I would assume that Jesus is probably praying with faith. That Jesus isn't probably praying something that he's like, "Well, I don't know if this will happen, Lord," but I would assume that Jesus is praying with faith. So we should give something that Jesus is praying for us a fair bit of weight. And Jesus says, and this is John 17, 20 to 23, "And I do not ask on behalf of these only, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their word," that's us, "that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us, in order that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory that you have given to me, I have given to them, in order that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, in order that they may be completed in one, so that the world may know that you sent me and you have loved them just as you have loved me." That's the invitation of deep family. It's being deeply connected. It's being one. It's a family that loves one another as Christ has loved us. It's a family that is one, as God and as the Father and the Son are one. And I don't know about you, but I find it difficult to get my head around what it even means that God, the Father, and the Son are that deeply connected that they're one. It's hard to comprehend. So it's hard to envision what it would look like for Overflow Church to be one to that extent, let alone what it would look like for the global church, for the global bride to be that deeply connected. That's hard to grasp, but that's hard to envision. But we can also tell that it is the heart of the Father. Because if this is Jesus's heart, if this is Jesus's prayer, and as we just read, Jesus and the Father are one, this is the Father's heart for our church, is that we would be one. And that's hard to envision. It's hard to know where we start, but I think it's important to start. Like, I think it's important to move towards being deeply connected, because it's his heart for our church. We were made to be together. We were made to be connected. We all have that need to belong. Chris mentioned belonging. We all need to belong. We have that inbuilt. And people try and fulfill that need to belong in various ways, but we were made to be together. And that togetherness, it brings growth. Iron sharpens iron. The wounds of a friend are a couple verses that spring to mind of the growth that comes from community. When we are deeply connected, when we have people that walk alongside us, it brings growth. John talked about how we've had the privilege of being family for a long time. But John is someone that, like, there is that iron sharpens iron, and he will call me out on stuff and has called me out on stuff throughout the years, and it brings growth. It brings transformation. Being deeply connected brings growth and transformation. And being together is part of how we navigate the big things of life. It's how we navigate the losses. It's how we navigate the successes. We mourn with those who mourn. We rejoice with those who rejoice. It's actually part of how we're meant to navigate emotions. It's actually part of how we're meant to navigate emotions is being together. I don't know about you, but sometimes I read scripture and, like, there's something really obvious that never has clicked before, and I'm like, that's such a key, obvious part of the story, and I can't believe I've never read it that way. But the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go after the one, it only recently struck me that he's able to leave the 99 to go after the one because there's a safety in being together. We talk about sheep can sometimes be this negative term, like, ah, you sheep, like, you people that are sticking together. Being together brings safety. So this is my first point. The Father desires that we be deeply connected. We are meant to be deeply connected. And it's actually a bit uncomfortable. Like, that's a bit uncomfortable to me. It feels like a big ask, but it's also so exciting. It is such an exciting invitation, because what would it look like? How would the world react to a deeply connected church? Well, Jesus actually told us. He said that the world would know that we are his followers. And he said that the world would know that God sent Jesus, and that he loves us. That's what it says in chapter 17. And obviously, we still need to have boundaries. Like, obviously, we need to be deeply connected and also still have safety. And I think that churches have and people have sometimes tried to do this in ways which have destroyed families, in ways which have destroyed communities. That there's been a lot of cults formed in the name of deep connection. But we want to be spirit-led as we go into this, because this is what provides safety. It is following his voice. It is following his prompting. It is following him. It is falling in love with him that creates the safety. And we don't all need to be deeply connected to every single person, but we need every single person to be deeply connected. So, point two, deep connection is costly. This will cost. There's this saying that Catherine and I was going to say like, but that's probably not true. There's this saying that we find helpful. That's more accurate. Pay any price to live in community. It's something we picked up at Bethel. It's part of a more full statement about living a revivalist lifestyle. But pay any price to live in community. And it's this saying that we will sometimes repeat to each other in moments where it feels particularly hard to pay that price. In a moment where we have had a week full of things on every single night and there's something else that's come up. Pay any price to live in community. In moments where we are invited to celebrate someone's breakthrough, someone's success, maybe in an area that we've been praying and desiring breakthrough in for ages, like, pay any price to live in community. Uh, a moment where we have to go resolve a conflict that we know is going to be messy and painful to deal with, pay any price to live in community. Because the cost is real. And I want to take a moment and I want to acknowledge that if you're here this morning, you paid a cost to be here. Whether that was just trudging through the rain or wrangling a toddler that is teething. Yep, I know of someone in that camp. That you've paid a cost to be here this morning. But I also want to acknowledge that there's people who are part of this community, maybe they're here this morning, maybe they're not here this morning, who pay a deep cost that we don't know or understand to be able to be part of this community. Maybe that's pushing through physical pain, maybe that's pushing through emotional pain, navigating anxiety, navigating hurt. Maybe that's continuing to try, continuing to show up despite not feeling connected. There's people in our community who pay a hidden price to be part of our community. And I want to acknowledge those people, that there's those people in this room. And I want to honor you and thank you for continuing to pay the cost, to pay the price to be with us. Because we pay a price to live in community, and it's really only by paying that price that we're able to access community. If we don't pay the price, we don't get to enter into community. We end up by ourselves. And the price can look like a lot of different things. It can be making time to be with people when you have a quite busy schedule, when there's lots of things that you'd rather be doing or need to be doing. That can be the cost. The cost can be being willing to be vulnerable. Vulnerability can be costly. Being vulnerable even when it feels risky or painful or difficult. And the vulnerability of showing up and trying to experience connection, even when not feeling connected. That can be really vulnerable. One of the costs can be making space in our lives, making space for other people, making space at our dinner table sometimes. Even when life feels overwhelming or overcrowded, the cost can be navigating the hurt and the pain and the things that would prevent us from being able to do deep connection. There's a financial cost. The financial cost of being part of something, sometimes of celebrating with people or mourning with people. There's a cost of being part of the family for, like, there's a cost in terms of being part of the church family. And I have an invitation for how we can shift our perspective around this price. We tend as a society to think in a really economic way. Culture has really influenced the way we think, and we think economically. We think in terms of return on investment. We measure things. We measure our sleep. We measure our steps. We measure our calories. I don't, but I'm sure some of you do. We measure things, and we think in terms of, like, if I show up at church for an hour and a half, I should feel connected because I've been at church for an hour and a half. We think in this economic lens. And viewing things through that economic lens, it can cause us to focus on the price that we're paying. It can cause the price that we're paying to be our focus. And I really believe that when it comes to family, a focus on the price that we're paying costs us the very thing that we're wanting. I'm going to say that again. A focus on the price that we're paying can cost us the very thing that we're wanting. Because focusing on the price that we're paying, it causes us to be really aware of the lack. It causes us to focus on the lack, which means we don't see the opportunities. We don't see the bits that we're getting of community, of family. And we don't end up experiencing the fulfillment. I'm reminded of a email that I got. And I love feedback. I've grown to love feedback. And I continue to grow and practice receiving feedback. Chris was fantastic at receiving feedback. And something that I really tried to learn from her. To get good at receiving and giving feedback. Because it's really important. Healthy feedback is such an essential part of a culture of transformation. So we got this one piece of feedback and I took it really seriously. I responded to the person because it was an email. I responded straight away and was like, let's talk about this. Would love to talk more with you. And they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to navigate it. So there was not much we could do, but we still wanted to take this really seriously. So this person, they were communicating that they had come to a night service, and they communicated that it had been really, really hard for them to come. And it seemed like it had legitimately been really costly for them to come, that it had been really difficult for them to come to the service when they did. And they came in, things had already begun because they came in a bit late, and they left before things were over. And in the email, they communicated how costly it had been for them to be here, and they communicated that they didn't experience community, that they didn't experience connection. So we took this seriously. We debriefed with our team. Some of you that were part of the School of Revival team will recall this discussion. And as we debriefed it, we realized that three people had spoken to this person who would come in, roll the service that already began, and left before the service was over. But despite that, three people had attempted to connect with the person. So I don't know what was going on for that person. I don't know what was happening in the person's heart. But the way that I experienced that email was that there was this focus on the price that was being paid. There was this focus on the cost that was being paid. And because of that focus, they didn't experience what was actually being offered. The focus on the price that was being paid cost them the very thing that they were saying that they were wanting. And we see a similar thing at work with the older brother in the prodigal son story. There's this focus on, this is all that I was doing. And the father in the story says, that all that I had was yours. It was available. Focus on the price that we're paying can cost us the very thing that we're wanting. So deep connection is costly, but we can view it as this price that we're paying, or we can view it as a sacrifice. Remember that verse we read before? What greater love is there than to lay down your life for a friend? And this is how Jesus loved, through laying down his life. So we can view it as a cost that we're paying, or we can view it as a sacrifice that we are giving to build community, not just for ourselves, but together. A friend of mine has this saying, I've shared it with you guys before, but he says that community is given, loneliness is taken. That loneliness comes from a focus on self, whereas community comes from a focus on each other. It comes from that place of sacrificing to build community. And that can look like a lot of different things. That can look like inviting someone to your dinner table. It can look like being willing to just have a conversation with someone over morning tea. None of it is wasted. So point two was deep connection is costly. One, we're meant to be deeply connected. Two, deep connection costs. And, sorry, I'm just doing a time check. All right. Before we move to three, we're just going to do another question in your groups. So here is my other question. I don't have it up there, so you're just going to have to listen, I'm afraid. What helps you personally pay the price to do deep church family? We talked about how that cost is real. What helps you pay that price? So we'll just give you a few minutes to chat in your groups. Very welcome to continue those conversations over morning tea, I'm just going to begin to land this. If I could grab the worship team up, that would be brilliant. All right, so we're meant to be deeply connected. Deep connection costs. Let's talk about the how very shortly. So deep connection with him is what enables us to do deep connection with each other. John 13, 34 to 35, to go back to this verse that we read earlier. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's actually being loved by him, experiencing his love, that enables us to love each other. And remember, the context that Jesus has just said this in is sharing a meal with his disciples and washing their feet, which it says he did to show them how he loved them. It's experiencing Jesus' love that enables us to love each other. Deep connection with God is what enables us to do deep family. I don't know what your... Well, I mean, I know for some of you, but I don't know what everyone's experience during the 24/7 prayer week looked like. But for me, I found that each time I left a prayer session, I could tell that my heart for you guys had increased. That each time I left the Lord's each time I left that moment with him, I could tell that I was more deeply drawn to this church. That deep connection with him was producing in me love and compassion for you guys. And that's how we do deep family, is we begin by creating room and deeply connecting with him. So we're going to make a moment, in just a moment, to deeply connect with him. Because as we stare into his eyes, we should see others with his eyes. So we are going to land with some worship. And if you want to worship, if you want to just take a moment and deeply connect with him, please do that. But we also have two areas that I feel the Lord is inviting us to minister to this morning. So once I've made this invitation, if I could maybe get some KLT or elders who are feeling led to come down the front to be willing to minister to people. So the two areas that I feel like the Lord is wanting to minister to this morning is if you would like to pray for us to encounter the Lord's love. Maybe you've not encountered that before. Maybe you don't know Jesus. He loves you and he would love to lavish you with his love. So if you don't know Jesus and you would like to get to know him, we would love to pray for you. But also, if you just want to have a fresh encounter with his love, we would love to pray for you. The other area that I feel led for us to pray into this morning is paying that cost for family. It can be really painful. Paying that price to be deeply connected, it can be painful and it can be tiring. And I feel like for some, the Lord is just wanting to minister fresh hope, fresh encouragement, fresh courage, and healing for areas where that's been hard. Because the Lord knows that that's been hard. The Lord knows that doing deep family is a challenge. So I feel like he's wanting to bring healing to areas where that price has been difficult. So we'd love to minister to people in those areas. But if you just want to worship where you are, feel free to worship where you are. Otherwise, if you'd like prayer for any of those things, please come down the front and we'll have some people to pray for you. Thanks for listening.